In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Hallelujah! 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 Come on, hit it. Hallelujah! 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 I'm reading from the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 5. St. Paul says, "For what we preach is not ourselves." No, we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shining on the face of Jesus. So where does the glory of God shine? The glory of God shines on the face of Jesus. The glory of God shines on the face of Jesus. He is the bright and morning star. He is the glory of the Father. He is the risen Savior. He is the one who died and rose, and that glory shines on the face of Jesus. And St. Paul knew what his vocation was. What we preach is Jesus Christ. He knew what to do. You know, he didn't know probably how to do other things, but he did know how to preach Jesus and him crucified. He did know how to preach Jesus because he knew that as he preached Jesus, he would get the increase. And we also know he knew that if he preached the cross as well as the resurrection, he would get a great increase. St. Paul knew this. But the glory of God shines on the face of Jesus. Unlike Moses, you see, with Moses, when he went up to the holy mountain to receive the law, his face shone with the glory, and he had to cover his face for the people were afraid. But this was a fading glory. It was a glory that would not last, because the law would not last. For he even tells us in Ezekiel that the Lord would give us a new heart and a new spirit. Yeah, we can even hear that in Ezekiel, talking about the new covenant. And we can hear that in Jeremiah. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord our God, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Not like the covenant I made with your fathers when I led them through the sea. And this is the covenant that I will make. I will put my laws within their hearts. And each will know God from the youngest to the oldest. There will be no need for anyone to teach of God because you're going to learn from inside." We have these prophetic writings in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah about the new covenant of the glory of God shining on the face of Jesus, the glory of God bringing light to the world. This glory of God is so important because, you see, I'm going to tell you, the presence of God is so important. You know, presence of God is so important. I received a beautiful, beautiful scholarly article from Roseanne in Arizona, and she sent this to me. She said, "I think you like this, Father Tom." I don't usually read many scholarly articles, okay? I don't. But I started to read this one, and I was really taken by it. It was such a beautiful article, because we heard on Good Friday when the soldiers come to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they said, Jesus asked, "Whom do you seek?" They said, "Jesus, the Nazarene." He said, "I am." And when he said, "I am," they all fell back. They all fell back. He used the name of God. Now, we have to remember that God revealed his holy name to Moses. "I am who I am." Now, the writer of this little scholarly work said, "What? No, I am says hello to you, but who is I am?" Okay, is he existence? Well, is that what he was trying to say? Many philosophers say that when God showed himself as I am who I am, he's existence, and he is the one who has existed from all eternity, and he brings existence to other things. That's real. But this scholarly person said, more than existence, I really believe what God is saying, that he says, I am who I am, he's saying, I am present. That his presence is what's real. Because when Moses said, when I go to Pharaoh, who shall I say sent me? He says, tell him, I am sent me, and I will be with you. I will be with you. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? I will be with you. That's who you are. My presence will be with you. And this is what we forget, you see. It is not my preaching that does things. It is the presence of God when I preach Christ and him crucified. You remember what St. Paul said? He said that for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ and him crucified. We preach Jesus Christ. So when the preacher preaches Jesus Christ, the Lord, when we preach Jesus, the presence of God comes upon the people, and the people get transformed. Maybe not all of them, but some of them. Maybe not all of them, but some of them. Oh, I remember with that lady, Betty Foley, many hundreds of years ago, it seems, and I just was leading a prayer meeting. I was 23 years old, and I pointed to somebody, and I said, Jesus loves you. Now, that's all I said, and she asked me many, many weeks later, Tom, what did you have in your finger? I had no idea what she was talking about. I thought she was talking ragtime. I said, what do you mean? She said, you pointed to me, and you said Jesus loves you, and the power of God went through me. I said, well, that's the Holy Spirit. You see, when we preach Christ in him presence, what happens is the presence of God does things that no one can do these things, but the presence of the Lord, the glory of God shining on the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take St. Paul on the way to Damascus when he's about to kill more Christians. What changes St. Paul? The presence of God, the Shekinah glory covers this man. This man is covered with the glory of God. You know, he deserved a lightning bolt in his ear, but that's not what he got. He got the presence of God. He got the glory of God shining on the face of Jesus. He was changed by the presence of God, not by any scholarly work, not by any tricks that I have up my sleeve. People aren't changed by tricks. They're changed by the presence of God. That's why I decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised from the dead, because I know what I preach, St. Paul said. I preach Christ. And Paul knew that to preach the Lord Jesus Christ was to mean that the presence of God would come upon the people and things would begin to happen. We see that with St. Peter when he goes to Cornelius' house and he lays out the gospel, and the presence of God comes upon the house of Cornelius, the Gentiles, and they all start speaking in other tongues. Kasham baraki torobakandoroko iriandorotosovarakan. They start prophesying with the presence of God. But because he preached Christ and him crucified. I'm telling you, this is so simple. Because the glory of God shines on the face of Jesus. The glory of God, the Shekinah glory, shines on the face of Jesus. Now I'm going to take you to the first reading on Holy Saturday. Because the first words out of the mouth of the Lord is, let there be light. Do you remember that? Yeah, let there be light. But I'm going to take you to the fourth day. The fourth day is when the Lord created the sun and the moon. That's right. Now listen to me. When God said, let there be light, what did he do? It was the glory of God that emanated from him that filled the planet. The glory of God, that light from light, that true light that emanates from the Trinity, the light of God, flooded this planet. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then, on the fourth day, he makes the sun and the moon. I'm going to also tell you, this is what I believe. You might not believe it, but that's okay. You don't have to. Why do they live so long? Why do they all live so long? I'm going to tell you. Because sin had not yet destroyed the planet the way it has. Oh, yes, Adam sinned, and then we saw Cain sinning. But you know, the world was still covered with glory. And that glory retreats the more that sin is brought into the earth. That glory retreats. That's why, if you want to find glory spots, you have to go to places where people know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and they're singing the praises of God, and you'll find glory spots. I remember many, many years ago, I was in Natick, where Father Ray Bourque was. I was making a retreat with this priest. It was an awful retreat, at least for me, maybe not for everybody else. But I would go in this certain room, and I would just sit in this certain room, and I knew this was the room that Father Bourque held his prayer meetings in. I knew it. No one told me, but I could sense it was a holy place. It was a place where God was praised. It was a place where the fragrance of God was lifted to the Father. And finally, at the end of the day, I said, where does Father Ray Bourque hold the prayer meetings? And they said, in that room. I said, I knew it. Why? Because it was different. It was different. There was a manifest presence of God. There was a quietness there that goes beyond silence. It was the presence of God. You see, it is the presence of God that the church needs today. We do not need another program. We don't even need me preaching unless I preach Christ. Unless I preach Christ. Because when we preach Christ, the glory of God comes. When we preach Christ, the presence of God comes. When we preach Christ, things begin to happen. Things begin to happen. Lives begin to be changed. You know, it's really so simple. This is not something that's difficult. But we need to know who we are and what we preach. You know, it's as simple as that. We need to know who we are. We are the ambassadors of God, ambassadors of Christ, and we preach Christ. We preach Jesus Christ. And we preach what He's doing today also. Yesterday we had a full church at the 11 o'clock Mass, okay? A full church. We never get a full church. And it really wasn't really, really full. You know, there were still spaces, but for us it was full. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I can give them the homily I gave on Holy Saturday, but I said, you know what, they don't need that. And I said to the Lord, I just opened my mouth. So here I go, and I start saying, you know, we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. I said, but that has implications. And the implications is that there's great power, and there's great and awesome power in His presence. I said, let me just tell you something. I said, the last verse of St. John says, there are many more things that Jesus did. Were they all recorded, all the books in the world would not be able to contain them. So I started to tell them, in this little insignificant church that people would consider insignificant because it's so small and so few people come here, people would consider it very insignificant, but not God. I started to tell them about the manifest presence of God and how people were healed miraculously in this little church. That there were many things that the Lord did, where they all recorded, all the books in the world could not contain them. So I told them three stories about healings, about, first of all, about a man who we prayed with who was going to have an operation, and it was on his brain, and I got a word from God that the operation was going to be simple. So when he had the operation, there was a bone missing in his head, but guess what? The bone came back. And the operation was simple. Never happened. They just opened his head and closed them up because he was healed. I said, that's a miracle. But that happens because Jesus is here. Because His manifest presence is here. Because the presence of God is here. Because we preach Christ here. Do you understand that? Then I told them two other stories, okay? And you know, they're all listening. They're all listening in. And I said, you know, what you were made for is the presence of God. You were not made for, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Now, that's not nice to have a Mercedes-Benz, no problem. But you were made for much more than a Mercedes-Benz. You were made for the presence of God. That's what you were made for. presence of God. And our hearts are restless until that presence settles in our hearts, until we experience the love of God poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I said, well, that's what we're made for. And you know, people go looking and looking and looking, looking here and looking there, and they never find it because they are looking for material things. They are looking for things that will cause pleasure in their synapses, I think you can say. But what we need is that glorious presence of God that Jesus, who died and rose, wants to give us. Then I said to them, you know, I went to elementary education, and when I was in school, second grade, third grade, fifth grade, we would always write letters, but we never mailed them. And when I went to Salem State, they said, you let them, the children, mail the letters. Why write a letter if you're not going to mail it? Isn't that real? I said, I've just talked about the presence of God. I said, but you know what? Now I'm going to pray for that presence. I'm going to pray for the presence of God to come upon you. I don't want you to talk. I don't want you to work. I don't want you to pray. I just want you to just be still. So I walked through the church saying, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Come wonderful Holy Spirit. Breathe on these people. Breathe. He's doing it right now. Just breathe on your people. Let them know your presence. Let them know your presence. Fill them with your glory. Come Holy Spirit. And I'm walking through the church. Eyes are closed and I'm praying for the presence of God to come upon these people. The holy presence of God. Then I sing, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on us. Some people joined me. Went back to the AMBO and I said, how many experienced the presence of God? And hands went up. A lot of hands went up. Then I said, you know what? I always feel for the people who don't. I said, let me tell you, I did not experience the presence of God, but I'm going to tell you, I know He's here. I know He's here, and I know He loves you. I was in Arizona, and the first night I was there with the young kids, the confirmation kids, we prayed for healing, and they were healed, but you know what? They were not impressed. So the second night I went, I said to the Lord, like, what do you want me to do? He says, I want them to experience my presence. I said, okay. So I got them, you know, I have about 80 kids, 90 kids. And I said, you know, we have an hour and 45 minutes, and you've got to give me your full attention. And I said, we're going to do something different tonight. But if you do what I say, things are going to happen tonight. And what's going to happen is you're going to experience the presence of God, the glory of God that shines on the face of Jesus. I said, but you really have to cooperate with me. And they said they would. So I had them all singing Alleluia. Everybody singing Alleluia the way that they need to sing Alleluia. So I said, how many experienced the presence of God? And started going up. Then I start walking up and down the aisle saying, don't disappoint me, Jesus. Don't disappoint, because I'm getting out on a limb now. I said, now we're not only going to experience the presence of God, we're going to smell fruit from heaven. So I start declaring fruit from heaven. One child said, I smell cherries. Another one, I smell apples. I said, what kind of apples? Green ones. Green ones. Another one said, I smell green apples too. So we start experiencing fragrances from heaven. Then we went back to experiencing the presence of God again. Let me tell you what happened. A little girl went to her CCD class a day later and said, you want to know what happened to me last night? For the first time in my life, I experienced the presence of God. You want to know what happened to a little boy? This little boy who had never been confirmed, was never catechized, never received the Eucharist, never was baptized, listen to this, he was so overcome that he had to leave the place. He says, Father, I don't mean to be mean, but can I just go outside for a little while? I didn't know why he wanted to go outside. I said, certainly. He came back. He says, I couldn't stay there any longer. It was so powerful. So I prayed with him. He ended up on the floor, and his whole life was changed. Now he's preaching. It's the presence of God. You see what I'm saying? But there is a way to get the presence of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God on the face of Jesus. The glory of God shines on the face of Jesus. Now my last story is about what happened last November. Last November, I was in Poland. And when I got there, they said, you know, there's a priest retreat going on, and there's this priest, the Franciscan, who spoke with the priest for 2 days, but he has to leave. Can you finish the retreat? Well, his retreat was on the sexuality of the priest. So I said, sure, I'll finish the retreat. So my 3 days was on the power of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? I'm going back this November. They want me back. Not because I'm such a great speaker, but because God moved by His Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's presence came upon these men. What we preach is Jesus Christ, Him crucified, raised from the dead, the glory of God shining on the face of Jesus. You see, this is real. This is real. Our God is not dead. He has been raised from the dead. His name is Jesus, and He's wonderful. He died on a cross, the excruciating death of absorbing the sin of the world. Every pain, every heartache that you've ever experienced went into the heart of Jesus. Every sickness, every torment, every loss. But He broke it all. And now that glory shines on His face. That's why I decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified and raised from the dead. It is for any preacher who hears me, Catholic, Protestant, lay person, it is a sure way to bring the presence of God to people. I do not know any other sure ways. I don't have any gimmicks because, you know what, I'm not smart enough. But I do know what to do in every situation to proclaim Jesus and that the glory of the Father shines on His holy face. That glory can break your disturbance, your hurt, your sickness, your pain, you're being left out all your life, your abuse, you know, you've been abused, that glory, when it touches you, can fix you from the inside out. So I pray the glory of God upon your people now. I pray the glory of God upon your people. I pray your presence come upon your people. I pray, I see the chains coming off now. I see the chains, handcuffs coming off now. I see them now. The glory of God, the love of God poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit. I see it happening now because that's what faith does. Faith believes in those things that are not as if they are, and they are by grace. I see it happening in the name of Jesus. Don't struggle. Just let His glory come on you. Let His presence come on you. Let His power come on you. Don't be afraid. This is real. He's in love with you. He has great things in store for you. And the weaker you are, the more you can proclaim. The weaker you are, the greater you can be in His presence. We have nothing to offer Him but our sin, our weakness, our brokenness, our everything. Give it all to Jesus and let His glory surround you and be changed by the mercy of God today. Be changed from the inside out. Listen, I do need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602. 2 East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. And I know someone who does roofs and does them in the name of Jesus. His name is Jimmy the Roofer. Don't let your roof go any further. Please call him, 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. Now listen now. Get in a quiet place. Let the glory of God surround you. And breathe in the Holy Spirit. Just breathe him in. That's all you need to do. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit of God surround you. Let the Spirit of God fill you. Know that you're so loved by God. You don't have to kill yourself today. You know what? Let's just cancel that in the name of Jesus. God has plans for your life. God has plans for your life. And the plans are all wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross out of love for you and who rose from the dead. And he's alive. 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 And never more to die. And even now, at the Father's right hand, guess who he's praying for? He's praying for you. For you. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.